Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You're listening to a fabric presentation from April 2018. Miss Verena Keller, Area Sales Manager, Südwolle Group presents Sweating in the Summer Heat? We're wool to cool.
So hello everybody and welcome to the presentation Sweating in the Summer Heat? We're wool to cool. My name is Verena Keller. I am working in Südwolle Group. We are producing merino yarns, merino blended yarns. And I'm working in the field of yarns especially designed for sports and outdoors. So I'm focusing a lot on the functions of merino and the particular blends. I've been working in the wool industry. Some faces are familiar to me, but to those of you who don't know me, I've been working in the wool industry for 7 years now and always been focusing in the sports and outdoor part. The format is like this. I will do a small presentation to give you some basic information about how wool works in summer, about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, and then we will change to opening a panel discussion. We will have some nice guests here who are all experts in merino in different fields, and I think that will be quite an interesting talk. If you have any questions during the presentation or the panel discussion, you will find small pieces of paper on your seat or next to your seat and pens. Please note them down and we will have a Q&A round after we finish the panel discussion. So we start with jump in at the debate, and in German this means der Sprung ins kalte Wasser. We thought this is quite a nice saying to use wool in summer because it's so obvious. It's there, but people are a bit like concerned, it doesn't really work, they don't really consider it. So you should really go and try it out, jump in at the deep end. With spring coming up, it's a great chance to clean your closet from prejudices. So that's what I mean, like wool's there, for wool cools you. In summer, wool can be an excellent performing fiber to cool you, but there are a lot of prejudices. Now we have finally, the winter's over, we have a great spring coming up with like temperatures up to 30 degrees, I think, tomorrow for Munich. So it's time to get out all of the old stuff and use your wardrobe for the things you really need. And you can clean the closet from prejudices and try something which is unexpected. Try something new. For example, this quote is what we hear a lot of times when working in the wool industry. People come to us and tell us like, do you know that? I know it from my childhood days. Wool can only be worn for those thick, itchy sweaters. And I always got it for Christmas. So wool is only suitable for the Christmas sweater, which we think is actually true, especially when you spend your Christmas vacation in Australia, which is the Southern Hemisphere, and you really have a warm Christmas season, because it's perfect to wear wool then, because it helps to get a perfect climate, air conditioning and moisture management. The reason why wool is also helps you to cool is, first of all, its breathability. So the body always tries to get an equilibrium between the outside temperature and the body temperature. And therefore, if wool is breathable, it's easy for the body to cool down, to get to the heat that he generates, to bring it to the outside. That means that basically air can circulate through wool and allows the cooling of your body. This also, of course, depends on the yarn construction and thickness of the yarn, as well as on the fabric construction. The second point is the moisture management itself. Wool has excellent moisture management features. So first of all, it can absorb moisture when you sweat, so your body produces sweat to cool you. Wool absorbs it up to 30 degrees. But besides just absorbing it, it also desorbs it. So wool also allows moisture to go out of the garment again, away from your body, away from the garment, into the air. These test results here show a test that was deducted at university in Victoria, I believe it was, and they measured, there was a guy who wore a t-shirt, half side was merino, the other side was a man-made fiber, it was a standard polyester, and it showed that after a workout period of 30 minutes here, the sweat that was measured in grams on the skin was way lower with merino, almost half, than it was compared to the side where he wore the polyester side, the man-made fiber side. This also was confirmed then by his personal opinion, so this was the actual physical measurement. And on the second part here, you see the personal perception of it. He said that he, for 20 minutes, he felt very dry when wearing merino. Oops, sorry, that was too quick. Sorry for this. For 20 minutes, he felt dry, just as in the very beginning, whereas polyester, he already started to feel uncomfortably kind of wet after 15 minutes. And it also kept on rising, and so did merino, but only at a very later stage. So as I meant, merino's game plan is it absorbs moisture, it moves it away from the body, and lets it evaporate. This then, all this moisture management feature leads to thermoregulation. So it's naturally thermoregulating. As I addressed in the beginning, it's actually a combination of its breathable functions and its moisture management performing attributes, leading to a thermoregulation because it always, of course, which is very familiar, wool warms you when it's cold outside, but it also helps to keep your climate at the same stable level to cool you when it's getting too hot outside. This here was also proved by some test methods, same test methods, Harlequin t-shirt, polyester side, merino side, and chest skin temperature was measured like on the surface of the skin, which was way lower with merino as opposed to man-made fibers, so it was more than 1 degree almost. This was done after 30 minutes again. Also confirmed again by the perceived thermal comfort. This can, of course, not be really measured, but it was just the subjective impression of the wearer, where he just used the words comfortable and uncomfortable. And the more you perform, the more you feel uncomfortable, because the wetter it gets, obviously. You can sum it up that when you wear wool, you carry your own personal air conditioning with you. And another nice side effect is that test studies showed back in 2001 that wool has actually the best UV protection factor. That's a type of measurement. It's comparable that when you remember the sun lotions, it says SPF, where you go, you know, the number 30 and 45 and 50. And this is comparable. This is the one that is applied especially for the UV rays. And wool is reached as the fiber in comparison to cotton, linen, and viscose. It reached more than 30, which is very, very good, which was the critical factor. Another prejudice we're still always quite often confronted with is that wool is itchy and makes me smell like a sheep, which is actually, and there's no exception to it, just wrong. Because you can be easily brave enough to take off your shoes in front of your friends after a long day hike, even after several day hike, wool is odor-free. So especially in summer, that's super useful because of its critical milieu. It doesn't allow the bacteria to multiply. And of course, also that when you sweat, it doesn't naturally smell. It's the liquid that cannot be moved away. And as wool doesn't allow liquid to stay on your skin, this bad odor cannot appear. So that's very, very helpful, especially when being with people and friends. Yeah, I was a bit too quick here, so that's the explanation again. Two aspects, the antibacterial features of the wool and the moisture management of the wool that help the smelling bacteria not to multiply. Here, this was a test study done. People wore a t-shirt, which was made of cotton, polyester, and wool for 28 days. And there are special, I think they're professionals called sniffers, so people who professionally smell things and evaluate the odor of the certain material. And here it clearly showed that wool performed best. Cotton was in between and polyester was really bad. So that's why also maybe interesting combinations might make sense. Also, the lanolin and keratin on the fiber surface help to, because they contain those fatty acids that don't support the bacteria to multiply. That's the reason. And also because we do wash merino, or we do wash wool before we produce it, and we apply different treatment methods, this doesn't affect these features. Another very important aspect when talking a lot about sustainability with a growing importance in our textile industry is its biodegradability attribute. Wool is 100% biodegradable. If you bury it in soil, it looks like this after 6 months, and after one year, the latest, it's completely gone. So it is for the degradation, when you put it into seawater, depending on the construction, it might take 2 to 5 years. Reason for that is because when you bury it in the soil, because of the high percentage of nitrogen in the fiber, the fungi in the soil can open up the ends of the fibers, weaken them, and that helps then again the bacteria to infect the fiber and dissolve it. And if you want to make it extra fresh, you can now, especially for summer, have a nice cocktail, have a nice blend. And so you can do with wool, you can blend it with classic summer fibers, which is linen, hemp, to be honest, stay on the natural part. Then we have, of course, classically lensing tencel. If you like, we have some samples here, just to feel it, to get the touch and the understanding of wool and tencel blends. There are, of course, blends with functional polyester. So everything I talked about, the studies that I showed to you with respect to comparison, was with conventional polyester. Here we have different types of functional polyester that support the wool with leading the moisture to the outside. Especially when you're going to higher performance activities, this is super helpful and useful. Yeah, so we can now keep on talking about how to look cool with wool in the sun. And I would like to welcome our guests, which is Jose Fernandez from Global Merino, Bruno Sidonius from Sidonius Seamless Tech, and Stefan Franke from the Woolmark Company. And the moderation will be taken by Anna Rode.
One, two, three? Yeah, okay. Thank you, Rena, for the interesting presentation with a lot of technical details. And probably it was very fast for everybody to digest all the details. And we will have 20 minutes, half an hour to speak with some experts to learn a bit more on what is behind that. So we heard that wool is known for the warm weather end use, and how come for the cold weather end use, and how can we use it in warm weather, in summer end use? How does it make sense? How does it work together if it works for warm and for cold weather? Jose?
Well, Verena spoke to the microclimate and the regulation. I think to understand a bit more of that, we have to understand how wool works as a technology. So that process of moisture absorption and release is actually a chemical process. And as all chemical processes are, they're heat releasing or heat absorbing. They require a catalyst, and that's your body heat. So periods of exertion, it actually has a cooling effect. The environment changes, whether that's the outside environment or the activity, and the reverse starts to happen. And so in that process of moisture absorption, it is regulating body temperature, and the reverse happens when that stops. The example that I always use, somebody goes for a run, they're wet, they're sweating, they go into an air-conditioned building, and suddenly they feel chilled. Wool, as it starts to regulate moisture and the environment changes, it actually helps regulate temperature. So some of the same features that work in winter in terms of absorbing moisture during periods of exertion and retaining its insulating properties when it's damp actually do the same thing and have the same benefit during warm weather.
Okay, thank you. And Verena, you mentioned also about the moisture management performance of the wool, and how can we find that together with the dryability of a apparel, of a garment, which can be worn during the summer end use?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point that you take up, because that's a little bit the downside or the weak part of the wool, it's the dryability. wants it wet, so it doesn't dry very fast, so wool can absorb up to 30-35%, depending on the study, of its own weight in terms of moisture. However, once it's reached that level, it stays wet for quite a long time. All the same, what Jose already said, that's the big part about merino. Even though you might be wet, the garment might be wet, you don't feel wet at all. So you won't feel this kind of chilly when you, the example for me is always mountain biking. You sweat a lot when you go uphill, and then you're there and go downhill, and then you tend to feel chilly because it's all wet, and the wet then leads to the cold feeling, and this doesn't happen with merino. So regardless if it's wet or doesn't dry so fast as some other man-made fibers would, it still keeps you warm, which is the critical and important part here, from my point of view.
Fakai, just the same example. I'm a cyclist, generally, and I'll wear some kind of wool-based cycling top. But my bib shorts are usually some sort of nylon spandex blend. So I'll go out, ride, look down, and I'm wet, but the only places that I actually feel damp are along the straps of my bib shorts or the back where that fabric is touching my skin. So even though you may be wet, the perception is that they're not soggy and damp.
So this would mean wool is giving a very perfect comfort for active people. And Bruno, you have a lot of experience with sporting equipment and apparel for sports end use. Does wool has the properties to be the perfect match for outdoor summer activities, for sports activities, also with high aerobic parts, not only sitting in the gelateria?
Yes, of course. The first use that we found on wool from our clients, the demand was for winter sports. It began with that, especially for cycling, hiking, mostly. These are the main clients that we have that ask for wool. But we have been feeling a change. If in the beginning they ask for merino for winter, then they start for autumn, and now more consistently they asking for merino for both spring and summer. Of course, the type of product, the type of fabrics, they need to change the weight. For example, in Seamless began mostly with very fitted styles with Lycra, and it's changing. It's getting to more relaxed fits, and of course, with this change, the merino benefited in terms of Seamless because the breathability that it can be achieved and the comfort is higher. But mostly because that what was being explained, the fact that when you are in intense activity and you are warm, or then you stop, and the advantage of merino is to avoid the thermal shocks. So things like a bike, things like hiking, and even things like yoga or Pilates, where you go with the clothes already wear, you make your activity and you go home. This makes a challenge to the cloth to perform and to keep you in a comfort level, even with these transitions of a temperature, of activity, both in environmental transitions and the your body temperature, because you change from a high activity to just go home on your car, on the subway, wherever.
Thank you. For all the engineers and number lovers here, are there any test data available on that? Is it something what we can prove? Stefan, you mentioned that there are a lot of information available.
Yeah, so you asked me, or maybe a question is, how the wool will work, and at what temperatures the thermoregulation properties of wool will work with the body. And so I think the wool will work, or the thermoregulation properties of wool will work at all temperatures, really. But very important, of course, is, like you mentioned before, the humidity of the environment, because it's really a chemical reaction. And the same like in winter, we have a wet and cold environment, and there's an absorption of moisture, and wool is releasing heat. So this keeps us warm in winter times, but the same or the opposite side is the same in dry and in hot conditions, where wool consumes energy, and this is really how the wool works, the cooling effect or the cooling mechanism of the wool works. It really consumes heat which comes from the body. So wool, it was mentioned before that wool is absorbing but also desorbing, evaporating up to 35% of moisture, and that is, the wool is transferring the moisture and allowing it to evaporate at the outside of the or away from the skin, and this is really how the procedure or how the mechanical mechanics works really.
And is there a maximum temperature? So it's like
no, as I mentioned before, I think this thermoregulation properties will work at all temperatures, but the important is really the humidity of the environment.
Talking about the humidity and all the environmental aspects, on the 100% merino, Jose, we talked about before on blends. How does blends make sense in that case? And what kind of other aspects will have an influence on the comfort at the end?
Well, nothing is perfect. So as much as we love wool, we can't tell you that it works perfectly for all conditions. So when someone says, I need a wool program, or we want to build a wool program, my first response is, well, you know, what is it that you want it to do? Does it need to be more thermal? Is it more moisture management? Is it for cycling? Is it for running? If you're asking me to build a running-specific base layer versus a running-specific base layer, really those are two very different activities, and therefore the performance requirements of the fabric are different. 100% merino jersey might work adequately for both of those, but we're certainly not optimizing. So I like to think that there's five pillars in a fabric construction or a fabric, and ultimately driven by what the end user needs. So we have fiber, construction, weight, blend, and finish. So, and I have blend in there because it's obviously related to fiber, but in some cases, different fibers complement each other. We may say, well, 100% polyester doesn't work here, or 100% wool doesn't work here, but as a combination, they may ultimately be better than either one of them individually. So, spinning technology has evolved. The types of fiber that we use now have evolved over the last 10 or 15 years, which allows us to spin finer yarns, do lighter weights, do meshes, do constructions that are perhaps more familiar to what we see in the pure synthetic world, yet they're now strong enough and stable enough that we can use wool in them. And ultimately, again, it goes back to wool as a technology does certain things. It manages moisture, it manages temperature, and it manages odor in the context of a warm weather application. So it does those things, and it does those things in a particular way, and it's different from how the synthetics do it. So when we want to get an end use for a textile or for a garment, we have to understand how wool works and where we inject it in the blend, in the construction, so that those benefits are optimized and any negative aspects of it, that it perhaps can get heavy or is not as strong as a synthetic, are minimized.
Okay, thank you. You were talking about construction, Bruno. You are specialized in seamless construction. How can a seamless construction help specifically for performance wear, for sports end users with wool yarns to help the athlete wearing wool apparel?
So the big advantage of seamless is the capacity of applying localized structures wherever we want in the style. one of the most important things to perform on summer with Merino is the breathability. Therefore, using the right type of construction in the right areas, the areas that are more important to have more breathability, the advantage of seamless is we can localize or a mesh or a jacquard, so we can increase the breathability in certain areas. In other areas that perhaps we don't need it or we don't want it for thermal purposes, we can do a more close structure. So we can balance not only is it important to balance the fabric as it all in the standard industry, so the weight of the fabric, the general construction of the fabric, the style itself, because how it is constructed, if it is the fitting of the style. But in seamless, we can add a sixth pillar, which is like an engineer style, according to the specific area, if it is an armpit, if it is a chest, if it is the back, we can localize the specific structure and therefore increase breathability and therefore increase the performance of Merino by itself.
Thank you. So we heard a lot about all the technical properties. So how can we go into practice? If there is a brand who never thought about using wool for sports apparel, or is there a young designer who would like to start their company with using wool, what kind of help can you bring, Stefan, with your Woolmark company background for entrepreneurs and for beginners in the wool sector?
Yeah, you know, we are not producers, so my colleagues here are the producers of products. So the Woolmark company is a support or service supporting company, and we work together with upcoming designers, with brands, with best designers in the world to promote wool and to increase demand for wool. And you see, we have a booth over there at 622, and we support demand for wool by working with some tools. One of these tools, for example, is our wool lab, which is a combination of trend information or innovation. But also it is a kind of sourcing guideline. So we try to bring together the upcoming brands, the new designers, and to enable them to source really good and new interesting products, not only in autumn, winter, but also in summer and in the transseasonal area of sports as well. So if anybody is interested how that will look like, please feel welcome to our booth to have a look, that there is a lot of interesting materials from all suppliers globally to really have an idea what could a wool product look like, what new ideas there are in the market to come up with new ideas, with new products, and this is a kind of support really.
That sounds to me like a great support, a great program. Coming to your end, is there any question which popped up during the last half an hour which you would like to ask to the audience? The lady with the nice haircut.
Oh, God. It's regarding sustainability, basically. I have kind of two questions. First of all, the sustainability aspect with wool, it can recycle itself or whatever. How does that work with wool blends, first of all? And second of all, you all want to increase the demand of or for wool, but how do you still kind of look after the animals and how do you work with that basically?
Verena, is that something for you?
Mm-hmm. I think I can do that. Can you just repeat the second part of the question?
How does it work when you increase the demand for wool, but still look after the animals and ensure that it's a good environment they grow up in?
Okay, first of all, it's a very interesting question. Talking about the blends, we've been talking a lot about the positive sustainable aspects, biodegradation, and the using of natural resources during the production of wool, because it's obviously from sheep, sheep eat grass, grass grown by water, to say it in a simplified way. The question is only then, what happens if you blend it with man-made fibers? Luckily, there has been a strong pressure on the industry over the last 5 years, luckily I say, because it's my personal opinion, that even chemical fibers and man-made fibers should be made in a sustainable and ecological way. So what we do, like we from Südwolle Group, we established a collection which is called Naturally Resourceful. And in that collection we use wool with different blends, and these blends are man-made fibers like nylon, polyester, things like that. And in that case we reuse recycled versions. For example, for polyester you can use post-consumer polyester, which means that it can be made from PET bottles or sweaters that had already been worn, and it is reused, so you don't need to use any crude oil again to produce it. Or in the case of nylon, for example, it's a biodegradable nylon. We have spinning techniques where we use merino and use a nylon filament on the outside to make it stronger, to go lightweight. And in these cases, we can also offer biodegradable nylon versions. Currently, the companies are also working to combine it, to make it biodegradable, and to use the material from recycled aspects. Coming to your second questions about the growing demand of wool. So the wool market, like the sheep farmers, always have the choice to choose between wool farming or meat farming. And it is clearly driven by the demand for wool. Of course, if there's low demand and there's low interest for the farmers to invest into wool farming, and they would then turn to meat farming. Like to say it in a simplified way. Of course, there are various influence factors, but that's the basic principle. And then, of course, if you increase the demand for wool, naturally the farmers would have more and more incentives and interest to invest again into wool growing. And therefore, if you have the choice, if you have the choice between meat and wool growing sheep, I think talking about animal welfare, that's quite clear. And it is, of course, also here we have a strong pressure, which is a very positive effect, that more and more organic farming are coming into the market. The traceability aspect is important. People ask a lot for traceability, transparency certificates. Where does the wool come from? How are the sheep treated? What are the conditions? And therefore, this is also developing in a very positive way. That's that.
Thank you.
Thanks to you.
Thank you. Is there any other question from the... Any other question from the audience? Now it's a chance to speak to all the experts.
Do you have any experience? Have you ever tried wool in summer? Who has?
But I'm from Scotland, so...
It never gets very warm. But I don't know if this is on.
It is.
It is? You can hear me? Okay. Yeah. The Scottish accent as well. Yeah, no, I also run as well, so I like to wear wool also in winter. I think it never really, you never get that immediate cooling effect or the rapid cooling effect that you get with synthetics. But yeah, it's a bit of a preference actually. I think importantly is the quality of the wool to avoid the prickle and itch on the skin. So fine microns are really important, and I think there's maybe a little bit of lack of clarity on that when you come to sourcing and buying wool, producing the wool. It's important to follow a good quality and pay for it, I guess, which is always a stumbling block for some brands.
Cool. So thanks for your feedback. That's great. I think there was another person who just... raised your hands, I think. Did you mention it? No, okay. Thought I saw another hand.
Any other question to the experts from your end? Otherwise, I would have one. Again, coming to the question of biodegradability and the blends. So for me, it looks like having it blended, for example, with stencil or hemp or linen makes perfect sense. And what are the criteria also to think about dye stuffs, because we usually work with colored fabrics, and also the dye stuffs need to be then follow the same kind of biodegradability. Is that something you're also looking for?
Yes, we're looking into that very closely. So Zero Group is certified according to all or most of the very common certificates, starting from Ecotix, going over via Blue Sign, then we have all the supply chain certifications. And a very important aspect of our total product range are our organic yarns. This means that we have KBT, Kontrolliert Biologische Tierhaltung, wool, special regions in South America, and all these yarns are GOTS certified. And as we offer this range also in GOTS and EVM Best, which is the highest standard in the textile industry with respect to sourcing and chemicals in use, and production obviously, as we offer those GOTS certified, EVM Best certified yarns also in colors, most of our colors, I think 95% are GOTS certified colors and dye stuff, and therefore we put a high focus on that to really use natural fibers. We even have a color range where we offer wools which are wool yarns which are dyed from plant fibers, where we go to see fruits, grasses, and so on, and get the color from there and to dye it the wool in a super ecological and natural way.
So that would mean people who have interest in a really ecological and biodegradable fiber asking you specifically for this kind of color range and kind of treatment. Mm-hmm. Okay, and one other question, which is also related to wool, of course, is all the animal welfare topic. As we know, merino is something which is often seen from a critical point of view. Which kind of information do you offer here? You mentioned before the traceability. Mm-hmm. Is it something which a normal end consumer or a designer who would like to start working with wool and being sure that there is no animal welfare topic being treated to ask you about and to ask for your service on the transparency to give it to an interested end consumer?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting and also very deep topic. I held a workshop on that, feeling easily 45 minutes talking about that. So I try to be brief and sum it up. So we do offer a lot of different packages when it comes to sourcing traceability. There is, for example, various partners who certify the fiber. ZQ should be well known. And another very important part is now the RWS certified fibers, which means responsible wool standard. They are all these wool shops come from certified farms. They are all always non-mules, which is a key issue here. The whole supply chain when working with RWS needs to be certified, so you can be sure that you also have very reliable and transparent and high quality manufacturers along the chain. And for that wool fiber, we start to carry stock because it's a new brand and it's a new program, and we make it easy for brands to start with also small quantities to get this RWS certified fiber easily accessible. The KBT fiber, of course, too. That's a stock program. It's non-mules, then it's prompt available. So there are different possibilities to start with easily. Sorry.
Okay. Any other question? If not now, take the chance. Pop up at the booth of Südwolle, Global Merino, the Woolmark, and Sironisch. Sorry. The name is a bit more complicated. Look to the website, and we are 3 minutes before time. That's really cool. And we will say thank you for your questions, for your time, and looking forward to seeing you again soon at one of the booths or here at the fair.
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.com. Copyright April 2018 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.